We kick off hour number three of this segment brought to you by Matlock Tire Service, the official tire service of 3 and Out and the Tribe here at Fox Sports Knoxville. They've been doing it for over 65 years, locally owned and operated. Four locations to serve you: Athens, Maryville, Lenoir City, and Knoxville. It's Matlock Tire Service and MatlockTireService.com. It's really burpy. I'm sorry. It's getting better, though.
It's a very interesting thing to say.
The heat's gone away, not completely, but, you know, it's now manageable. My tongue did feel like it was going to you know how sometimes your skin feels like it's just going to, like, fall off? That's kind of how the surface of the tongue felt.
What?
It was, like, just burning so bad. It just felt like it would
just shed a layer.
Yeah, it was just kind of, like, peel. Like a sunburn,
I guess. It's pretty rare. Do you think you could have done one hotter than that? Like a habanero or a reaper?
No, I probably would have peed. Well, I probably could have got... It was the talking that was the hardest part. It's weird. I think it's because as you talk, you kind of build up saliva. You have to, like, take breaths at certain points. You kind of have to swallow every now and then. If you can just sit there and, like, kind of swallow and down it and then keep saliva from building, it almost, I don't know, I guess it's counterintuitive. I guess the more saliva you kind of pump through, the better, but I wouldn't wish anything hotter on anyone else. Like, if you had gotten that one, I would not have wanted you to have a hotter pepper.
Thank you.
And now, mouth feels better, but I mean, I can still feel this thing all the way, you know, down the digestive, upper digestive tract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as someone said, it'll be punishment again later, I guess.
That's why you only had to eat one. Because it happens later, too.
Yeah, so appreciate that.
You going to make it?
Yeah, we'll draw again on Friday. And then I was thinking we'll draw next Wednesday, our teams.
That's very true. Punishment Wednesday will also be SEC Survivor Draw Day next.
Right. Double whammy.
Next Wednesday.
And we have to preview the Louisville game. That'll be a jam-packed show.
Because that's Friday, right?
And preview the Vanderbilt game.
Friday at 5, is that right?
Yes. No.
No, Louisville's Wednesday.
Wednesday at 5.
And then Friday at either 7 or 9.
Correct.
Hopefully 9. Hopefully it's that late.
It'll be the late game on
Friday night one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you win.
You got to play better than you did last night.
To beat Marquette, you think so?
No, to beat Louisville, I think so.
All right, that's what I meant. Sorry. I don't know anything about Louisville. I'll spend this weekend. I didn't think so, but I could be wrong. I've got a week to learn a little bit more about Louisville. Not sure where they are at this point in the season. Obviously, you'll have to play infinitely better to even compete with a team like Kansas. It sounds as if Lamonte Turner is back for the Louisville game, that they wanted to rest him after they played him in the exhibition, and I think they wanted to just make sure that shoulder was all the way back. It sounds as if your sixth man is back for Louisville. Does that change the way this offense operates? Could he really prove to be the big difference when he's inserted back into the lineup and is obviously going to be the first man off the bench if the team's not playing well or even if they are and someone needs a break?
When you had to sub last night, you didn't really get anything out of your reserves on the offensive end at all. So I know we talked. I don't know if we even mentioned this on air. Your bench had 4 points last night. Fulkerson hit a free throw, and Jalen Johnson had 1-3. Other than that, your starters had all the points. So we know going down the stretch, if your bench isn't able to score, you're not going to win with the schedule that Tennessee has to play this year.
I mean, I don't know this. I'm imagining Lamonte was your leading scorer off the bench last year.
He was.
Had to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, you bring in a guy like him who on a hot night, I think he touched 20 a couple times last year.
I thought he was your third leading scorer behind Grant and Admiral.
Overall?
Yes.
Interesting.
No, that sounds right.
So, getting him back, obviously, that's going to be big. I do wonder what the lingering effects are of the shoulder. The fact that he hasn't been back out there to this point is a little bit worrisome, and I mean, one of the things he did best last year was shoot the three in big crunch time moments. Is that a shot that he's still going to feel comfortable taking? And has the shoulder injury and rehab and recovery changed his shot? Will it alter his shot? Will he be the same shooter he was last year? Will he be worse, or could he potentially even be better? These are all big question marks, I think, as this team heads into now big boy play starting next week against Louisville in Brooklyn. Because points last night, tough to come by anyone not named Grant Williams, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that's what makes this team so special is all the different ways they can kind of come at you, and Lamonte Turner is a huge part of it. I mean, he's not a starter, but, I mean, he's a starter.
I mean, he's the guy you're most comfortable with taking the three. Tennessee's three-point shooting to this point in the season, it's not a shot, obviously, that they've relied on. They haven't taken a lot of them, but it does seem as if he's the guy who, if you need one, you can count on him to take it. If he's open, you're comfortable with him taking it. And frankly, last year, he did a pretty good job of knocking a lot of them down. I don't know what his percentage was last year, I would say in big games, it was probably 20 points higher than it was, you know, in games you won by 30.
This is interesting. For last season, Lamonte, Admiral, and Jordan Bowden all shot 39.5% from three.
40%, I'll take that. 40% is a good number.
You know, I'm hoping that Bowden can get back to his, late in the year last year, it seemed like he was being asked to do so much on the defensive end that it hurt his scoring and definitely hurt his outside shooting. I was hoping this year that wouldn't necessarily be required for him on defense with the development of some other guys like Pons being able to guard some guys that maybe Bowden would have to have taken last year with the matchups. And that Bowden could be more of a, at least like anytime he's open from three, he's taking it and, you know, making those at a good enough clip. I thought going zone was a little interesting last night. I wonder how much.
I thought late it was the right move in this game.
I wonder how much they've like worked on that, if that's something you're going to see more of this year, or if that was just something where it's like, well, Turner's out, they're calling a ton of fouls, let's keep our guys out of foul trouble, let's, you know, shorten this game a little bit, and Georgia Tech's not hitting anything from the outside, so let's just put some length around the basket and make sure that we force them to take those types of shots.
That's exactly why they did it, and I thought it was the right move at the right time last night, especially with, you know, you had a couple guys starting to get in foul trouble. You knew Georgia Tech was in foul trouble, so let's not help them in any way. I also thought it was interesting they picked up a little bit of full-court press at times, and it was a good point by Jimmy Dykes. When you're that good in the half court, if you can slow people down 3, 4, 5 seconds bringing the ball up the court, that's less time they have to get into their offense against a really good half-court defense. Tennessee, a few new defensive wrinkles. So far on the year, going back real quick, Tennessee has only taken in three games 47 three-point shots. They are 18 of 47 on the year. That's not great. Their opponents have also hit 18 threes, but it's taken them 79 shots to get there. That is a woeful percentage.
It's like 22.
Something like that. Tennessee on the year shooting 50.9% from the floor. Opponents, 29.3. Obviously, you haven't seen the caliber of opponent that you're likely to in Brooklyn, but Tennessee's defense has certainly been the difference. I mean, if they hit free throws last night, I don't think people feel as nervous today as they do, but when the offense struggles, you do get the fouls, and then you miss the freebies. I think that's probably why people are a little bit nervous this morning. I mean, they did not play particularly well last night, and I think it's important, too, as the season goes on. Like, it's okay to criticize this basketball team when they don't play well. It's okay that the expectations have changed. It's okay to hold them to a higher standard. They did not play particularly well last night.
You mentioned the free throws. Going back to Lamonte Turner, he's your best free throw shooter.
Last season
he shot
always
at 88%.
On the court late. Yeah, so, he was always late. He's always the guy you wanted with the ball to hit the big shot or get fouled and get to the free throw line.
I mean,
he's a very important player, even though he doesn't start to this basketball team.
At least for all your guys, they're not terrible at free throws. I mean, last night wasn't great, but most of your players are averaging around 75% from the line
as a team this year. You're shooting 66% from the line. That's not good enough.
Last year, you were at 75.5%.
I think 75.5 is good. Like,
yeah. for a team,
a season,
yeah.
that's really good.
Yeah.
But starting this year, that's an area where this team, And I'm sure today they're all in there having to shoot him, right? Like Barnes isn't the guy who, oh yeah, we'll work on free throws later. Like I can only imagine, and just the personal responsibility so many of these players take for their performance. I can imagine that Grant Williams, either last night after the game or today before, during, and after practice, will be sure to get up plenty of free throws, knowing that in the next two games, hey man, you're going to go to the line. It's going to happen. You're too hard to guard to not draw fouls, and you're too important to the team to not make free throws. That's an area where Grant, right now especially, can hopefully improve over the next week, because he's going to need to hit them against Louisville and then hopefully against Kansas, but perhaps Marquette.
I didn't hear this as far as the coverage went, but did someone said that Jimmy Dyke said that Grant Williams winning player of the year was a fluke. Is that true?
No, Rick Barnes apparently told Grant Williams, a lot of people think you winning it was a fluke, so go out there and win it again and prove them wrong.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify, because I saw that running around on Twitter.
I missed the start of the game because I didn't know they had moved it to ESPN News, and they announced that they had like a minute and a half into the game while the football game was ending. So
action.
I missed that. But apparently he was just saying that's what Barnes used to motivate Grant. Was a lot of people are saying that's a fluke and you can't do it again. Why don't you go prove them wrong and do it again?
Yeah, I didn't believe that at all, because Jimmy Dyke said he had Tennessee as his number one team in the SEC, and you know, thinks that they have a great shot to go to the Final Four. He was very complimentary of this team.
I couldn't see Jimmy saying something like that,
right?
So I just thought, wow, if he did,
it makes more sense for Barnes to kind of use that as a motivational tool. And last night in the post game, Rick Barnes was not too curmudgeon-y. He was pretty pleased with just kind of gutting one out by double digits and playing good defense and moving on.
It felt at halftime, just the style of play, that it wasn't ever going to really open up.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like the way the teams were defending each other, the way the game was going, the fact that there was no flow, it just felt like that was going to be a grind-it-out type of night. I don't know if maybe because you don't have Lamonte, he feels okay getting into that type of game with Georgia Tech. Maybe he thinks Georgia Tech's going to be a little bit better than people have predicted this year. I mean, the things that Tennessee did wrong last night are fixable. Make free throws. Make your free throws and you win this game by almost 30. I mean, I know you're not going to go 100% for the game, but even if you make, you know, miss three or four, you're still winning by almost 30. And that changes the dynamic of the game. Maybe Georgia Tech kind of lays down a little bit earlier. You can get more people into the game. But free throws were big last night. Tennessee did not do a good job.
I know we're trying to work through the ball inside, get Grant or Admiral kind of a one-on-one on the block. But I thought there were several times where you had some shooters get the ball, and they easily could have had an open shot, but they were hesitant, and they waited to try to see if they could make the pass inside. I would have liked to have seen, like, I saw Bowden a couple times, just go ahead and shoot it.
I thought they were passive offensively, especially in the first half.
Yeah, and it depends on who it is. I mean, if it's Bowden, he should probably pull the trigger. If it's some of the other guys, it makes, you know, they've probably been told, hey, let's take great shots and make sure the ball goes through Grant and Admiral every possession, which makes sense. So,
speaking of Admiral,
that's something you'll get better at, I think.
He okay? You think he's okay?
What, the ankle?
Just in general. I'm not expecting him to be last six games of the season Admiral right out of the gate, but he's kind of been quiet.
Did they mention if he put in contacts after he took the rec specs off?
No, I know he just chucked him to the bench and said, the heck with this. He got hit in the face, and if you've ever gotten hit while wearing glasses, having the glasses pushed right into your face does not feel good. I mean, that's going to hurt worse than getting hit with just the basketball.
Mm-hmm. Chad Bauer says he watched the whole game in Spanish because he didn't realize they had moved to ESPN News. I almost did that. I was scrolling through, and I saw it, and they didn't have it. They still had the Pardon the Interruption was on ESPN News, and I hadn't seen, like you, I hadn't seen it on the sidebar yet of where they were moving the game. And I saw it in Spanish.
I saw everybody tweeting last night in Spanish, and I was like, what the heck is going on? And that's because I guess a lot of people didn't realize they had moved it and decided to watch the game in Spanish, or felt they had to.
Yeah.
So now it makes sense.
And we'll come back with more. Stick with us right here. It's 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Talked a lot of recruiting on the show today for football, of course, and the basketball game last night. I mean, I don't know. I think everyone's just so – I think if this game happens in the middle of SEC play, like late January, everybody's like, okay, fine.
Grind it out, win. Yep.
Got it one out, no big deal. Everybody's just so excited to see your top five Tennessee Volunteers. I mean, think about that.
Yes.
Your top five in the country Tennessee Volunteers basketball team that, you know, they want every game to just, right now at least, to wow you. But, I mean, think about it. This team didn't really wow you last year. Except for in big games and in some big moments. I mean, like Grant Williams doesn't win with wow plays. I mean, Admiral Schofield did go on a heater late in the season last year and into tournament play, which was really fun to watch. But most of the time, this team won games like last night. I mean, they won games like last night where if the other team's a little better and they score 73 instead of 53, but Tennessee plays better and they scored 77, like that was the game. Like that's it. Like this is just their style. It just is who they are. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, Jimmy Dykes, the color analyst last night, and a lot of people think that Tennessee can go deep in the tournament because, I mean, when I used to follow certain teams through the whole season, you would see that, like, even though they're more explosive during the regular season with the ebbs and flows of the schedule, when it gets late in the year, when you get to, like, the 32 and the Sweet 16, everybody plays great defense. Like, every team in the Sweet 16 knows how to just lock down and play defense. And so the games become this style no matter what. And we've seen the officiating and the, you know, calling a lot of fouls and stuff be a thing, too. So probably not even a bad thing for them to have to go through a game like this now. I mean, it definitely felt like a midweek 9 o'clock tip in the SEC last night to me. Did it not to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Once the fouls started mounting.
The 9 o'clock tip for this game was a horrible, horrible choice. Terrible decision. Made no sense. Especially early in the year when I think the crowd is excited for the first big game of the year. And you throw it on Tuesday at 9. Obviously, the weather didn't help. It was cold. It was starting to rain a little bit. But I mean, guys, it's the Eastern time zone. Game's not going to be over till 11:15. With your refs, 11:30. People still have to get home. Obviously, you know, students have class the next day. Kids have school the next day. It's just a tough game to get to in Knoxville, Tennessee. I don't know why two Eastern time zone teams can't get the 7 o'clock game every time. And they do this during SEC play, too, where you'll have two SEC West teams, you know, in the central time zone, play the 7 o'clock game, and the two Eastern time zone play the 9. And it's like, guys, you could flip this and make it a lot easier on everybody, and they just, for whatever reason, don't, I guess they don't take that into account. But that hurts the crowd, right?
Yeah.
And so then team maybe isn't quite as into it, whatever, and then when the refs call a game like that, you get that game last night. That's just a woeful basketball game to watch. No flow, very little excitement, no big plays. But to your point, you're right. That's not what Tennessee does. Tennessee is not a team that shows up and routes a team by 60, scoring 100 and something points like Pearl did a couple times. That's just not what they do. They play defense, they bring you down to their level, and then they beat you with the experience of playing in tight games, of playing great defense when it matters most, and hitting timely shots because they've now put the pressure on you. You're absolutely right. I mean, think back to last year. Like, what was Tennessee's best big win? Purdue. You went to overtime. You won by 3. I mean, at the time, that was a team at Purdue that a lot of people were very, very, very high on.
Yeah.
Kentucky at Rupp.
What was that, like a 2-point game? Let me find it real quick.
I mean, you tried to play that style against Villanova, and it worked for a half, you know, early in the season, that same tournament where you beat Purdue. And they ultimately were able to just kind of overcome it and start scoring in bunches in the second half, and that's why you lost.
Like, yeah, you beat Kentucky by 2.
We were excited about this team last year because they just won games. No one cared how they won last
year. Right, and I'm with you. But last year, a lot of people didn't expect this team to be good enough to win them.
Right.
But they won them, and so everyone gets excited. And now, for some reason, I'm with you. I think everything has changed to, well, now we don't just want to win. We want to beat team. We need to beat Georgia Tech by 30. And I'm guilty of it, too. I made the joke yesterday. I want Pastner waving the white flag by halftime.
You didn't help.
Well, I mean, I just hate Josh Pastner. That was more of the that was more of it than anything.
I know.
But you're absolutely right, and that's a great point. Like, Tennessee occasionally has that game where out of nowhere Ole Miss comes to town and you win by 33 and everyone's like, whoa, what on earth just happened? Well, everybody got hot. And just like occasionally, like last year, they're going to have the game where they go on the road or whatever, lay a stinker, another team gets hot, like the Bama game, and you lose by damn near 30. But the majority of the games, they're going to be that, what, like 10 points or less, and Tennessee makes the plays at the end to win them. Hell, they almost did it against Loyola, and the guy hits the shot that hits the rim five times and goes in.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. They made the 10-point comeback in crunch time. And then the other guy just made a play. But you're absolutely right, and it's a great point. Tennessee doesn't win pretty. They win ugly. They play, I don't know what you even say, it, junkyard basketball? Not in a dirty way. That's just what they do. They're going to be physical. They're going to play great defense. You're going to be frustrated. But this team does not have a group of elite scorers who also play elite defense to where you're getting stops on one end and burying threes on the other. Now, Lamonte coming back, I think, helps that. If Jalen Johnson will play defense, I think scoring ability from him will help that. That said, again, just a defensive-minded basketball team. It's just what they do. It's a great point by Nate. I guess I hadn't really thought of it in that perspective, but, I mean, go look at last year's schedule. It's all right there. Even early in the season. I didn't know this. They put the Clemson score. I did not realize they won by four. I thought they won by more than that. It doesn't really matter. But let's see here. Purdue, obviously, you won by three. NC State, you won by nine. Georgia Tech, last year, you won by seven. You beat Lipscomb by 10. You beat Furman by five.
Yeah, think about that.
You went on the road to Wake Forest and played really well. You won by 19. But then you get into conference play. You lost to Arkansas by two. You lost to Auburn by 10. Beat Kentucky by 11. 8-point win. That was actually pretty good. 13 against A&M, so on and so forth. This is not a team that just beats anybody by 30 or 40 points, unless everything falls during that game, and that rarely happens for this team.
Lipscomb by and Furman by
10.
Five.
Lipscomb, Tim, Furman, 5 last year, early in the season.
Yeah.
Later in the year, they had a couple of those games. Like the road game at Mississippi State, that was one where I think we were all like, whoa, wait a minute. How did they do this?
Lit them up.
Won that game by 22. Arkansas in the SEC tournament when you won by almost 20. Like, that was one of those where you're like, wow. But you almost lost to Mississippi State in round one, but you won by three. A team you just beat by 20 two weeks earlier. It's just the way they play. That's who they are. So, I get it, though. I mean, don't you understand? People are like, they're number five in the country. We're supposed to be the teams that just blast everybody. But
people are already saying it. They're tweeting it. This doesn't look
overrated.
This doesn't look like the top five team in the country.
Put the cup on. But that's the thing, too. I think this team proved last year they play to the level of the competition at least a little bit. And for big games, I don't know about everyone else, but when I watched Tennessee in really big games last year, with the exception of the explosion that Villanova had in the second half, which they did to everybody, and the game at Alabama where you were never really in it, this team just has a way of staying in the game, building a little bit of a lead, maybe only getting down by a couple, but they hit the shots to stay in it, and then over time they just wear you down. That's just what this team does. They're not going to be Duke that runs out on Kentucky, hangs 120 or whatever, and everyone's goo goo gaga over the Blue Devils. That's not what this team does. That's not their personality. That's not the personality of individual players. Can they get better? Of course. And they're going to get better. Hell, but think about it. If they make free throws last night, they win by 30.
I mean, hell.
As crazy as that is, as bad as they looked, if they hit free throws, they win by at least 25.
Say they make seven more and they win by 20. I don't think.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's they didn't shoot the ball particularly well, and the game was never in doubt. I'm with you. You made a great point. Hour number one, you said, maybe the most encouraging thing is that they played pretty much like crap, and it was still an easy win. Like that
they were playing bad and still cruised.
That shows you more about the kind of the overall team strength, I think, than anything else. And you're missing one of your top, you know, scorers.
I'm glad they get a week off to get the bruises iced up and massaged out, because there was a lot of them leaving last night's game. A little bit bigger stage, obviously, next week.
Yep.
not only where you are, but who you play. I mean, I don't think Louisville's particularly great this year based on what I've heard, but it is still Louisville right next to yours. Nate thinks they're a blue blood, I would argue, but that's neither here nor there. They are one of the best teams in college basketball over the last, what would you say, 15 years? Would you go back a little bit further, a little bit shorter? In the last 15 years, Louisville has been really, really consistent and really, really good. That's a big name. That's a name that even if the team isn't good, if you play well and beat Louisville, regardless of what happens in the next game, people take notice. That's a resume builder. That's a respect-earning type of game, even if Louisville is not that great.
Well, they beat Nicholls State in their first game by 13. They blasted Southern last night by 50. 104 to 54. And then the neat thing is you'll be able to see them play Vermont on Friday.
Uh-oh, Vermont.
If you care.
Vermont making the rounds. They played Kansas tough the other night.
Yeah, Vermont's pretty good. So that'll be a chance to kind of see where they are.
When's that game?
That's Friday at 7.
Okay. We're getting a break and they got to play Friday?
There you go.
I'll take it.
And then Wednesday at 5. As part of the preseason NIT, that's Louisville and Tennessee will get that started with Marquette and Kansas to follow after that. That's an exciting time. I mean, like you can't expect this team to, you fell in love with this team for being who they are, for being underdogs that win games this way. Don't like you can't out of one side of your mouth say. Yeah, I mean, Rick Barnes has done such a great job developing all these three stars into a team that's more impressive than each individually. There's no one and dones on this team, and they're a Final Four caliber team. And then out of the other side, I go, man, I wish they were Zion Williamson. I wish they were high flying and dunking. I wish they would have won by 35. Like, you just can't do that. Just love them for who they are. They didn't shoot particularly well. If they shoot a little better, this game's not even close. Yeah, I mean, just shoot a little better at one in one.
The
respect.
Non-defensive shot.
And make one run.
And it's easy. Yeah.
Yeah, one little run.
One little run, and it's, you know,
I think,
you've won by 30.
Honestly, hit half the free throws you missed. When you miss 14, I don't think making 7 is crazy. And, like, a couple shots fall. And, again, you've won by 30-something, and no one's having this conversation.
I mean,
it's a razor's edge in games of do you blow a team out or win comfortably. It only takes a couple of things going your way. But at the same time, I don't think that's the case for Georgia Tech winning the game. I don't think they were, if a couple of those shots had fallen, Tennessee, that's just, they don't allow that type of thing to happen. So you were definitely closer to winning this game by 40 than you were losing it at all based on the style that Tennessee plays. The defense is fantastic. The offense, I think just like it did last year, will come along and individual guys will step up on a given night. My only concern at this point is Admiral Schofield scoring the basketball, free throws, but that's mostly just because of last night, and obviously what happens with Lamonte Turner if and when he comes back against Louisville. How many minutes can he play? How does he shoot? How does Rick Barnes manage the rotation? Which I said, that's maybe my biggest fear this season is the rotation. But other than that, you beat a top you beat a Power 5 team at home by 13 on a night you played like junk.
Yep. Preseason NIT tip-off for Tennessee Wednesday at 5 from Brooklyn, New York. It'll be on ESPN2. And then on Friday, losers will play at 5. Winners will play after that. Losers will play at 7. Winners will play after that, a little after 9 o'clock. And that'll be a really, really fun way to watch some basketball sandwiched around the Thanksgiving holiday next week. That's what's coming next. They're off until that Louisville game next Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Final segment, 3 and Out, driven by Toyota Knoxville. Coming right back at you here. Stick with us on Fan Run Radio. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Check them out online, goldsgym.com, for the free 3-day VIP pass. And when can people work out for free, Davey?
The 23rd through the 25th.
You don't even have to do anything. Just walk in, work out, free.
Not bad.
November 23rd through the 25th, so the 3 days after Thanksgiving. You've eaten all that turkey. You've had a good nap. You've watched football. You've watched some Vols basketball. And now you're ready to get, you know, fit and trim and I don't know, whatever you do.
Oh, and real quick, speaking of turkeys, fried turkeys, smoked turkeys, or a breast alone of either. Plenty of sides, everything you need for Thanksgiving available at Sweet Peas Barbecue. But if you want a special order, a smoked turkey breast, fried turkey breast, that you will then work off at Gold's Gym later, you can do that at sweetpeabbq.com. And I got to make sure people are well turkeyed.
It's bulking season.
And then tomorrow's if you want to cook your own turkey or give a turkey to someone in need, which we would recommend.
It's the 7th annual Ogle Elrod and Baril Turkey Drop going down at Corner 16 from 3 until 6. So first come, first serve, 3 o'clock, we'll start passing out turkeys.
I ate one of those turkeys
absolutely
last
free.
Year.
Really?
Very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a quality bird. It's not something that, you know, you wouldn't want to eat.
I think we're getting them from our good friends at Food City.
Let Russell Smith give you the bird.
There you go. That's going down tomorrow, 3 o'clock. I would suggest being there at 3. Don't think, I'll get there at 5:45. You know, I mean, swing by and say hi to the drive if that's when you get off work and stuff. But the turkeys generally go fast. It's become a thing. Free turkeys tomorrow at Corner 16 beginning at 3 o'clock as the 7th annual Ogle Elrod and Baril Turkey Drop goes down.
Didn't they
down.
Have to buy more last year?
I think they made two runs
for turkeys. They get very popular this time of year, the turkeys. A lot of people for some reason.
I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's one of my
Loves Thanksgiving. Well, they love the food. A lot. Some people hate the idea of sitting around with, you know, family for hours or having to eat dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's where the football comes in. Once you get done.
Amen, brother. Amen.
You know, meeting and greeting and catching up with everybody. You just
football's
football
on, and you say, I don't know who
there you
are,
go.
But your family apparently. And what do you think of this game?
Yeah,
no problem.
You sit around, you hear lots of people's bad sports takes. It's great.
Oh,
that's the only thing
that is the worst. It's not even just family, really. In our line of work, anybody we talk to wants to talk to us about sports. Guys, there are some people out there who don't know anything about sports.
Well, sometimes they even do, but I've already done 3 hours of this, buddy.
Don't mind that. I don't mind continuing to talk about sports, but it's when people come out of just nowhere with a crazy take that I'm just like, there is absolutely no way you follow this enough to say something like that. Like a lot of people, I think after Tennessee started 2-2, you know, we run into people here and there. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Pruitt, you think they're going to fire him? I think they probably should. I'm just like, what? What are you? What? It's amazing. But sometimes family member, close friends, they try to kind of fit in or, you know, talk to you about what you work about. And just like, you know what? Leave the takes to the professionals, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind the how's work going type. Like, that's a normal question, mm-hmm. but. Everyone just, or not everyone.
But like if someone at the dinner table next Thursday says, I really think they should start Chris against Vanderbilt, like I'm probably going to flip the table and lose it.
Jesus in the temple style.
Whatever it takes. I wouldn't really actually flip the table. There's a lot of good food on it. I wouldn't want to waste all that food. You got to have seconds and thirds and leftovers for days. It's the best part.
Well, the playoff rankings came out again last night. And they're still the same. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, LSU, Washington State, West Virginia, Ohio State. But I thought this comment was interesting.
There's a change at 11.
Oh, yeah, UCF up to 11. Here they come.
Well, I was more of just making about who was not still at 11.
Who was not still at 11? I forgot.
Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Good point. They're at 17 now, down 6 spots. I guess I could have just looked at the sheet here and, you know, screen and.
I just got a text from someone at the station that said, Thanksgiving food sucks. Sorry. Had to interrupt. Guess who it was?
You better.
Bear.
Of course. Thanksgiving food does not suck.
You're going to the wrong meal, Bear.
I think
do
I
need to invite Bear
I
to
do,
my family's Thanksgiving?
I do think I heard John made the point, if it's so good, why do we only eat it one time a year? That's what makes it so good. I mean, I would eat turkey and all that stuff all the time, but it's so much, you know,
it's the prep
delicious
part.
Food. It's a lot of work, and there's only so many days a year you can eat that much, and you know, live a long life with good heart health and body fat percentage. Mm. The reason we don't eat it that much is because we eat enough that day to last you a long, long time. And a lot of people eat the same meal at Christmas, by the way.
Well, here's what I thought was weird
Bear,
last night.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nolan Dillard.
What does he eat? Pizza on Thanksgiving? On a burger?
Wings.
That's wings kind of beer. Like a turkey, really. Turkey wings.
You can make that into a thing, I guess.
It's a shameful text. No wonder he didn't tweet it. Because he'd get ridiculed.
Last night, Kirk Herbstreit said, if Georgia beats Alabama, it'll be Armageddon. He said, if Alabama loses to Georgia, that's the worst case scenario for the committee. You start throwing all these other teams in the mix. Georgia has to be in. Who would be left out? That would be Armageddon this year for the committee. See, what had happened was ESPN, I think, has realized that if Georgia beats Alabama, Georgia has to be in. I agree with that. Kirk Herbstreit is correct. It's like they just don't want to admit, though, that Alabama is clearly also going to be in. And if Clemson and Notre Dame are undefeated, we're done here. That might be the easiest scenario for the committee. But what would be the problem is ESPN's not going to get to have their cycle of who's in, who's out, who's it going to be? Does Ohio State have a good claim? What about Oklahoma or West Virginia, the Big 12 champ? What about Mike Leach? What about, you know, it's going to be simple. Michigan, you're out. Sorry. If you went out and that's the way it goes, sorry, you're just out. It'll be an easy call for the committee. You going to put Michigan over an undefeated Notre Dame team that beat them? No. The committee every week has shown that the SEC is king. I mean, it's pretty obvious from the eyeball test, from the non-conference results. I mean, you had Auburn beat Washington early. You had LSU just spank Miami. Like, it's been pretty simple that the SEC is by and far not only has the best team maybe in the history of college football this year, but also has the best team at, like, each level. You know, you got Joel Klatt out here complaining that the top one loss team's SEC, top two loss team's SEC, top three loss team's. Yeah, you know why, Joel? Because the SEC's the best conference. And the committee is stuck by their criteria. Isn't that what you want? I mean, you want them to be consistent. So this is, to me, this is a media member for his network trying to create fake drama if we go down that certain path.
I agree that he's going to try to do that, and we know Kirk's going to sheep it up for the Big Ten. But if it is the scenario where you have Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC championship, so you know you're going to have Georgia, Alabama in, and you're going to have Clemson and Notre Dame in, you're pretty much looking at two SEC teams and two ACC teams. I kind of put Notre Dame in that ACC category since they play majority of their schedule against the ACC. I mean, that just opens up the argument to expand it when you're leaving out the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the Big 12.
Well, that's another question I had for myself was, is this just Kirk setting the stage? Because maybe there's behind-the-scenes stuff going on with ESPN, TV contracts,
to eight quicker.
College football playoff money down the road, and there's already talks about when the contract runs out, what are they going to do? I mean, because you know these things are always planned years in advance. And they start talking about extensions on this stuff way before it happens. Now, Clemson could still lose this weekend.
Notre Dame could. They play
Syracuse. Sorry, I meant to say Notre Dame. Syracuse is up to 12. Notre Dame could lose this weekend. I mean, I don't know. Clemson might could lose the ACC championship game.
Troy says you're a homer. He says Ohio State and Michigan would both beat Georgia.
Troy's wrong. I'm sorry. Sometimes you're just wrong.
Michigan might. Ohio State wouldn't.
It doesn't matter that they would beat them. That's not the argument. The resume is just stronger for Georgia. It's just not even. It's not even going to be close.
Isn't it a combination though?
Ohio State beat one team above 500.
No, I'm just saying in general. Isn't it a combination? Like, isn't the eyeball test also kind of what matters?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, they say that's a factor whenever they're taking their rankings
like they admit
into consideration.
Right. I mean, it basically just opens the. It's so no one can have the trump card when they say so-and-so's in, and they say, but they didn't meet this one. You can't do that. They leave everything kind of open-ended so that they can put the best four in there. Best four for making a lot of money for the college football playoff.
Troy's point is fine right now, but we're assuming in this that Georgia was good enough on one day in December to beat Alabama.
True.
So that's why the argument's over. Not right now. Right now, sure, you can make that argument.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a big if, but that was the whole premise of Kirk Herbstreit's argument, was that if Georgia beats Alabama, it's Armageddon for the committee. I think it's pretty simple.
I mean, if Georgia beats Alabama, they're in. The question at that point becomes, is that enough to knock Alabama out? And I think there's a lot of circumstances that would have to be evaluated.
Right.
The health of your quarterback, if you're Alabama, the rest of the football team, you know, what happened in the game, what was the final score, so on and so forth. But if Georgia beats Alabama, they are in, unless they lose to either of these next two teams. One of them is Georgia Tech, who actually is kind of been a thorn in Georgia's
side. Triple option.
Look out. You don't want to play him this late in the season either.
I hate Georgia, too. I don't know. Anybody call me a Georgia homer?
You're such a Georgia
homer. That'd be the last thing that would make sense. But, no, I mean, that's the assumption that Georgia's beating Alabama in that scenario kind of ends all debate. I'm with you, though. Alabama and Georgia are both in. It's the rest of the team she'd have to figure out. Stick with us right here.
Albert Abouka-Quickum out against Tennessee. Big news.
Check out the podcast, Fan Run Radio. Keep it right here. Talk Sports is next. Stick with us on Fox Sports Knoxville.